This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
8:15 now. Apparently Magnum Force is a movie from which a man's got to know his limitations came from. I always love that phrase because, you know, you're not everybody's good at everything, and you can't always try to get out of your lane and do stuff you don't do or you don't do particularly well. Just do what you do and try to do it as best as you can. With that, we welcome in Will Green, President and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, or as it's otherwise known, LABI. How you doing, Will?
Tommy, good morning. I'm doing well.
Tell me about the reaction of LABI to the election last week, or the I guess it was an election last week, whatever you call it. Yeah. The referendum?
So, Tommy, so Constitutional Amendment number 2, obviously we supported Constitutional Amendment number 2 as a mechanism to continue to move our state forward. And so the results, obviously, a little disappointing. But, I do want to remind the listeners that Constitutional Amendment number 2's passage notwithstanding, we still, and the legislators and leadership, still made transformative tax reform over the special session. They repealed the franchise tax in Louisiana. We were one of 15 states with a franchise tax. They lowered corporate income tax. We had one of the highest corporate income tax rates in the South, flattened and lowered personal income tax rates, modernized our tax code to include digital goods. And so as a result of all of that, the Tax Foundation, which is a nationally respected ranking firm that ranks states' tax climates, is predicting that we'll go from about 42nd in the national rankings down into the 20s, which is a major, major step. And so, you know,
that's with the amendment failing, you're telling me, Will, right?
That's the amendment notwithstanding. And so we did not need the amendment in order to improve our rankings, because, like I said, the amendment had nothing to do with lowering corporate, lowering personal, and getting rid of the franchise tax and really, really modernizing our tax code. Now, it was disappointing in the sense that one of the big legs of our complicated and we think one of the things that disincentivizes growth and investment here in Louisiana is the inventory tax. We're one of 9 states that fully taxes inventory, and Saturday, had the amendment passed, it would have given parishes, local governments, the opportunity to opt out of the inventory tax as a way to attract more investment to their region. And so, unfortunately, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out a way responsibly to get out of the inventory tax.
Is that something that could be maybe put on the ballot in and of itself, just by itself, to eliminate the inventory tax?
So I think, you know, that's what was so interesting about Saturday. And I've been in Monroe, Shreveport, Bossier. I'm in Lake Charles today, and I've talked to a lot of businesses and a lot of people. And, you know, there was so much support for a lot of what was in the constitutional amendment. And I think that there was just a couple of things in it that had really nothing to do with the major, major policies that we needed to move the state forward that really ended up, I think, ultimately sinking the amendment. And so I think that the legislatures that I've talked to, they want to look and see, okay, what did have the broad support? What did people understand? What were they generally supportive of? How can we pull those pieces out of the what was in that constitutional amendment and bring it back before the people and get it passed.
When it comes to insurance and business and industry, and be it storm protection for businesses or auto insurance, that seems to me to be as important as tax climate. Maybe I'm wrong. Compare and contrast for me, Will, and how would you go about even beginning to fix that in the legislative session?
Tommy, it's the number one issue, and by far the number one issue. I mean, I saw a poll recently. It's insurance is the number one issue for Louisiana citizens. It has been for a number of years now, addressing our insurance crisis. We're among the highest cost states in the country for car insurance. And we just recently polled our members. It's the number one issue for our business and industry members in Louisiana. And so we have got to address our insurance crisis, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel, Tommy. We can look at what states like Florida has done. Look at Governor DeSantis in 2022 and 23. He went and aggressively addressed insurance reform to make their litigation climate more fair, more predictable, and more stable. And as a result, you're seeing him go around Florida right now talking about insurance carriers are coming back to the state, they're writing policies, and insurance rates are going down. To duplicate that effort, Governor Kemp in Georgia, he went down to the Capitol this session and he said, we are not losing Coca-Cola and Delta and Chick-fil-A. They are not going to leave this state. He said, I want tort reform and I want aggressive tort reform. And they passed aggressive tort reform this past session. We have to do that same thing here if we don't want our small businesses, our truckers, our manufacturers to flee the state. And I'm telling you, I talked to a business owner yesterday morning over in Bossier, and she has a trucking company, and she said she's had to relocate most of her business to Oklahoma because she cannot afford insurance. And so we have to do something like Florida and Georgia's done to bring insurance carriers back to the market, to write here with certainty and predictability. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's do things like Florida and Georgia have done. Let's pass medical transparency. Let's repeal the Housley presumption. Let's pass modified comparative fault. These are things that other states have done, and we need to do them too.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but there does have to be a will, because there is certainly a way. I doubt that there's the will, but we'll see what happens. Let me take a break. When we come back, you know, Will, tariffs is the word of the day and of the week, and we'll talk about Louisiana Association of Business and Industry and your thoughts on tariffs that have been proposed, that have been placed on the president, and then the counter tariffs, et cetera. Will Green, president and CEO of LABI, Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. We'll talk tariffs when we come back. 822 traffic, WWL. 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Will Green, president and CEO of Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. We've already talked about tax climate, about the rankings of Louisiana. We talked about insurance. Now let's talk about tariffs, Will, and how what's going on with Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, how your members are feeling about it, thoughts, hopes, dreams, fears. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
So, look, it's tariffs are in general the idea, right? And we support the idea, the general long-term idea of onshoring and reshoring, right? And we certainly also support the idea of the president and his goals to secure the border and create free trade agreements and stop the stealing of intellectual property. I mean, these are all certainly things that the business community and that my members certainly support. But, you know, tariffs are a tax. I mean, they are a tax. And when we talk about taxes, we talk about competing in a global marketplace, you know, our members rely on fair, open, and predictable commercial trade rules. And so, unfortunately, it's, you know, these tariffs have created a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unpredictability and a lot of instability right now. And that's also, you know, that's a tremendous challenge. And onshoring and reshoring, they take time. And so, you know, I've got some of my members that will, you know, could certainly benefit from this. Some that could, you know, could withstand some short-term pain for some long-term gain. Some that it's going to be a tremendous challenge for. We're polling our members now. We're trying to find out the impacts. You know, the announcement with some with exactly what the president had in mind just dropped, recently, as you know, Tommy. And so there's a lot to unpack. We're working with our national partners. We're talking to our members, but ultimately there's a lot of uneasiness right now.
So when it comes to long-term gain, short-term pain, I know sometimes, it's economic displacement. Is this going to affect some businesses that won't be able to stick around long enough for the long-term gain?
Well, we certainly hope not. I mean, you certainly hope that the businesses, the long-term gain certainly is that we bring jobs here. We stop the stealing of our technology. We make quality products here in America and in Louisiana. And we promote the steel manufacturing plant that just came here to Louisiana. And we don't have we had the crisis with COVID where we didn't have chip manufacturing plants here in Louisiana, and so the car market almost came to a halt. Mm-hmm. And so we certainly hope not. That's something we're going to be talking to our members about and seeing how we can support them as much as we can.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Tommy.
Will Green, President and CEO of LABI, Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. And make no mistake about it, the business of Tommy Tucker and WWL First News is business. No, seriously, business makes the world go around. I know you got to help those that can't help themselves and everything else, but I think sometimes business gets a bad name and people don't realize that stuff doesn't just happen. Speaking of business, we'll talk with Walt Leger when we come back, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. New Orleans area restaurants could finally start getting Michelin stars. We'll explain and also talk about what's coming up for the city. Time now for WWL First News. 8:47, 13 to 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our good friend Walt Leger III, and I mean that, the president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. How you doing, Walt?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about this Michelin star thing and also about the, tell me how you say that, Bocuse d'Or, is that right, or am I close?
Bocuse d'Or, you nailed it.
All right.
That's the Shaw education coming out.
Thank you. I don't think there's any need for that, counselor. So look, Florence Pugh has a movie out on it, We Live in Time, I think is the name of it, where they talk about that competition. That's a worldwide thing. That's a big deal for New Orleans. And tell me about that and about Michelin stars and everything else.
So the Bocuse d'Or thing started a couple of years ago. We received a call, kind of a tip almost, that they were looking for a city in the United States to host the America's selection of Bocuse d'Or. The finals every couple of years are held in Lyon, France. It had never been held in the United States before. There were some other cities in the running. this caller, excuse me, suggested that we should compete because New Orleans is a world-renowned food city. We did. We dove in. We competed. We were able to attract that event to the city in 2024. It went so well that they've now asked to come back in 2026, which is really thrilling. So gave us a chance to really elevate the culinary scene of the city, which has been celebrated for a long time, but maybe not in that way. And I think, it's the kind of thing that starts to create some buzz and continues momentum. And now we've got Michelin and other things happening. We're excited to see where this can lead for us as we continue to elevate our community around the world.
So the Michelin Guide American South is coming this year. I don't understand what that means.
So Michelin has been is a guide that was created long ago by the Michelin family of the tire company. And the idea was to sell tires and get people on the road to go to some of the world's greatest restaurants. It was a really amazing idea, started in France, spread around the world, came to the United States in 2005 with cities like New York and then later Chicago and Washington, D.C., and California in 2007. And they have slowly looked at other ways that they can expand. And this is the first time they're doing a regional guide. So they're inviting six states into the competition, essentially. And there are now secret shoppers, if you will. I mean, the judges are always below the radar. You never know who they are or where they are. But they are currently in Louisiana, also in Mississippi, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. judging restaurants for their excellence and will, over the course of the next several months, I think to be announced later in the fall, potentially award stars, which are the highest ratings, or also other recognitions that will give prominence to some of our restaurants. So very excited to see how that unfolds.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to the Jesuit-educated, I believe, Walt. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So somebody said that the only reason they asked in New Orleans, where'd you go to school, meaning high school, it was started by Jesuits so that they were able to say that they went to Jesuit. I forgot where I saw that, but I think it may be true. 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker talking to Walt Leger. Walt, coming off the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras and everything else. Now you got the Zurich Classic, you got French Quarter Fest, you got Jazz Fest coming up. How do you use those events to promote future events while they're going on, if that's what you do? I'm presuming you do you?
Yeah, a number of different ways. I mean, one, we're certainly trying to capitalize on the momentum of the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift and Mardi Gras and all the things that create a buzz. And, you know, marketing is so challenging in this environment where people are bombarded with advertisements wherever they go. I've read that the average adult in America right now is getting hit with 10,000 ads a day.
That's right.
So public relations and earned media and working with media is more important than ever in my mind, and these events create those opportunities. So we'll be hosting media for some of these upcoming events, showing them how special these festivals are to our community, highlighting that, getting the word out on those. I mean, we just came off of a record-setting book, New Orleans Book Fest, with 18,000 attendees. That's grown year over year. Driving media coverage is critical for that. And then we'll also host some customers of major conventions, conferences, meetings, and future major events as well, just to continue to remind them that this is the most remarkable place anywhere and that the events we have are just different and unique.
You know, I'm going to say this on the air because I texted Walt just now. I'm going to get an official Super Bowl football for New Orleans, and I'm going to send it over to New Orleans and Company. Because you guys were so great and did such a great job during the Super Bowl. I don't want the players to autograph the ball. I want everybody over there to autograph the ball and that to be my keepsake of the Super Bowl, because that's the memory I want to have. Tell me about the staff over there, if you will, Walt, and just about the efforts that happen every day that have so much to do with promoting the city that we don't know about.
Well, thank you for that, Tommy. That means a lot. It means a lot to the team, too. We have an incredible team here that do a bunch of different things. I know you've gotten to work with Kelly Schulz, who's our comms leader. We hosted several thousand media personnel last year, journalists, influencers, and others. She and her team build itineraries, get them to town, tell them the stories, help them, you know, help paint the picture. And that's a 24/7 job when you've got folks in town that you're kind of taking care of, showing around, and curating experiences for. They do a remarkable job. Mary Beth Romig, Rhonda Cook, Cal Palermo on her team, so many others. The convention sales and services team led by Stephanie Turner and Rachel Avery, they're very similarly doing site visits with meeting planners and professionals, showing them venues, hotels, helping them to pick the right places for the events, pointing them in the right direction, sharing leads with thousands of our members across the community so they can compete for the business. And then bringing in, you know, tens of thousands of people at a time. They also are working directly with the NFL and with the NCAA and other major partners on major events for hotels. We've got Kevin Ferguson, Alice Glenn, who head up a lot of our public facing and external affairs work, trying to, you know, help make our community a great place to live and work every day, so that it can be a great place to visit. You know, Mark Romig and Jeremy Cooker and the team in marketing, they're promoting and doing social media around the clock, competing with every city on the planet. And there are so many more. I'm certain I've left some folks out, but this team lives and breathes New Orleans all day, every day, and really works to compete with every other city that wants this business for their community. And we love it when we can win. It's heartbreaking when we don't win, because you don't win them all. but we just get up and keep going.
30 seconds, Walt. What can the average person do that loves the city, loves the work y'all do, to kind of enhance what you do or make the effort even more successful? I guess just be the best ambassador that you can be?
Yeah, just invite your family and friends here and focus on the positive things about our community. We obviously need to address the challenges, and we should all keep working together to improve our community for the better. But we should never forget how special this place is, and we should continue to remind our friends and family around the world that that we want them here and that we want them to visit us and that we want them to spend time with us, because our community thrives when people come and visit and spend time with us.
Walt, somebody texted in, okay, so you're an Eagle and Walt is a Blue Jay, but I think we all know where the real education happens. Thank you from a former Brother Martin Crusader. Only in New Orleans, right?
We got a lot of great schools here. We're fortunate to have them.
There you go. Thank you, Walt.